You're listening to The Songwriter's Diary. Today's episode features Kyla Greening. Kyla is a singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. Welcome to The Songwriter's Diary, Kyla. I'm so happy you're here today.
Thanks for having me, man. This is such a cool podcast to be on. I am actually so honored because...
Oh.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, no, thanks for being here. I've wanted to interview you before I started the podcast. I wrote a long list of people who I want to interview, and you're one of them because we went to uni together.
We did. Wintec, though, what a blast from the past.
I know.
That was pretty fun. Kind of stressful because, you know, uni life. But I liked uni. Did you like uni?
I did.
Yeah.
I wish that I could go back and redo it again.
Mm. What would you do differently?
I feel like everything's a blur now.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
We were so young. I was like 17. How old were you?
18.
Yeah, babies.
18 or 19. Yeah.
Baby girls.
Yeah. You asked what I would change if I went back. I think I would focus less on boys and... focus less on a boy and taken advantage of all the resources that we had there.
Right.
Like studio time and just picking everybody's brains. I wish I did that more.
Mm.
How about you?
Yeah, it was a cool experience for me. I think we had History of Popular Song together with Wayne Sr., which I really enjoyed. But sometimes it was like quite a lot of content to consume, right? I loved it because he was an awesome teacher and you just kind of got to know about all the different music genres throughout the years, and it was really cool. But I remember we were sitting together and you were like not listening but also listening at the same time, and what you were doing was writing an entire poem in class, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. Yeah, and you're like, does this sound good? And I think it was about a boy, but I think it came out to be, I don't know if you wrote a song called Lonely or something like that, but I always remembered Mukuka writes poems constantly and lyrics and is always taking gems from her daily life and turning it into beautiful art. So I think even just being in a situation that is creative, whether it be uni or songwriting circles or whatever kind of creative circle you're in, you can always tell the true creatives because they're always going to try and be creating something wherever they are, whether it's in class or
it's hard not to,
right?
It's like really hard not to like be in that state. So we're recording this podcast on the 2nd of November, and on the 6th of November, you have a single coming out. Are you able to tell us about that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm actually so excited because this is, my first single ever as an artist. So yeah, yay, thanks. It's been a long time coming for me to think of myself as an artist or even as a songwriter. Because I just thought it was, I don't know, something that I didn't want to be. I always had a dream of being like a backup singer, like a professional backup singer, which I still do. I think that's, backup singing is so cool. Or just something that isn't so much in the spotlight as people might see artists as. But I think having this song come out, I'm in a different mindset where artists are just, you know, providing their kind of lens on for people to see the world how they see it. And it isn't like a big me, big brand, me, big product, me, big song. It's just, yeah, just another human, just me sharing some music. I think one kind of saying that has kind of stuck with me randomly throughout musical journeys and things is from Rick Bernards, our music theory teacher from Wintec. Rick, amazing teacher, taught us music theory very well.
Music studies, eh?
Music studies, yeah. With all the air training and all the harmony. Oh, man.
That was a hard class.
It wasn't, I cannot lie, it was so hard. I did not know how to spell a chord. I didn't know chords could be spelt before I entered this degree, but afterwards, his class, you know, felt a little bit more in the know. Yeah, he's kind of a rock and roll guy, and he had a lot of metaphors to give and small nuggets of, maybe you'd call wisdom. Them wisdom. Yeah. And one of them was just, at the end of the day, musicians just aim to make your part of the world a little better. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, because sometimes you can get caught up in a really big dream of, like, you know, I'm going to take over the world with my music or whatever dream it is. I mean, personally, I couldn't really get myself to think that far, because I just thought it was too far-fetched to even dream that big. But I really resonated with making your part of the world a little better, because I come from a really kind of close-knit family and community where I do see changes in people daily and often, just from people being themselves and trying to look after each other and things like that. Yeah, I can really see people's efforts, and they do make a difference when intention is good. So yeah, having this song out, I'm kind of in that mind frame at the moment. My intention is just kind of to share who I am and just have fun with music. I love music so much, and I like the song as well. It's kind of draws from a couple of musical influences, a bit of R&B, a bit of feel good messages, a bit of 90s singer kind of vibe. So
it's a very good mentality to have when you're sharing your art. It's such a vulnerable thing, and when there's ego attached to it, sometimes it's hard for, well, for me personally as a listener, it's hard to relate to the artist when they're not sort of humble.
Right.
And a lot of people can tell that you just being yourself.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Are you able to tell us about your single that just came out on the 6th of November?
So in a nutshell, it's a love song, but it is a shout out to the people in my life that I love and make my life rich. Hence the title, Rich Girl. I also wanted to write a song called Rich Girl because I personally thought that I would never write a song called Rich Girl, because, I mean, I'm not too materialistic. I like a lot of things, but I don't value money as much as maybe I should. but I find that things that make my life enriched is the intangible things, like, you know, love and support from family and friends. So it's a kind of a shout out to my family, my cousins and best friends. And it kind of takes you through a little snippet of what my life was like growing up. And just, the song's been like 4 years in the making.
Wow.
Well, only because I procrastinate. and I wasn't entirely sure how to finish or complete a song to become a releasable song, you know. I was like, I think you and I kind of just write songs on our guitars or pianos or on our computers, and we're like, oh, that's nice enough, taking it from nice enough to, you know, nice and polished and mastered and mixed and with all the nice musical elements that you'd like in it. Wasn't too sure how to do that. So if we go back to year one, it was just a voice memo. And the first line that came out was, rich girl, da-na-na-na-na-na, and just na-na-nas. And then it was, at the time, I was kind of like navigating a long-distance relationship. So the line was, I would pack up all my bags and get on the next plane to be there with you, because I just don't want to be away. Though the oceans divide us, the feelings that are inside us never change, baby. And that kind of just came all at once. And then I had to, those are the original lyrics. Some of those are tweaked for the one coming out. But that was it for about a solid, I'm going to say year. And that's how the song lived, as a voice memo. And just those lyrics. And then I put it out on my story because I remembered it a while later, maybe the next year or so. And I was like, oh, I'll just sing it on my story. And people were like, wow, that sounds like a real life story. I was like,
on your Instagram story?
On my Instagram story, yeah. And I was like, oh, I mean, it is a real life story. Maybe the song is one of the first songs that actually reflects a personal experience, as opposed to, I don't know, sometimes I just write a jingle, or it'd be fun to write a kind of a Hannah Montana country song today.
Yeah.
Just for what the heck. but I think this was potentially one of the first songs that I wrote where I was like, oh, this is about my life. And I feel like maybe I have something to say here.
How did you go from voice memo to adding the first instrumentation, Is it something you did by yourself or is it something that you collaborated with someone else?
This is an interesting time of my life because I had lost my voice or I had serious voice problems. So I couldn't really sing. So
what happened?
Oh my gosh. So I've gone to many, many doctors and they always ask like, oh, what happened? And I have to say, I went to a Polyfest and I did like one really enthusiastic juhu. And like, I'm not going to do it now because I'm so scared of doing it because I might just pop my, I don't know. But I have to explain to some doctors and some doctors don't know what a chihu is.
Oh.
So I just have to be like, oh, it's like a yell. It's like, I just yelled, guys. On top of that, I was also really, really busy. And I also am blessed with asthma. So I just have to manage my asthma. And at the time I was working at field days, waking up at like 4 a.m., working all day. And then my wonderful mother would pick me up and take me to my next job, which was being a lobby singer in the Novotel hotel areas. It was pretty fun. I got to play there with my dad and my brother. But I did that every day, work all day at field days and then sing in hotel lobbies at night. And then that weekend I had a big ball to sing at in the house band with a couple of my mates. And I think I just put too much strain on the voice.
Sounds like your body was really tired, man, as well.
My body was so tired. That's usually the first sign of if I'm feeling any type of stress, it will manifest in my throat or just physical fatigue, basically.
Yeah.
So I guess I was under a lot of pressure as well as being a really loud yeller at Polyfest. and then, yeah, so I lost my voice for a little bit. Well, a year, and it still hasn't got, I lost a lot of my top range and it was fine, but I haven't got it back yet. But just navigating my new kind of voice and reconditioning it has been a little bit of a journey. I think I've stayed fairly positive through it though, because, what was your question? You said it came from a voice memo.
Yes.
And then I lost my voice, so I had to use a loop pedal, with guitars. And so I would loop pedal some chords over a beat and then get my phone and mumble a melody into my phone and record that. And actually, I just remembered, I have posted this on Facebook maybe 4 years ago as well, of my first go at a loop pedal. And it is the same melody as Rich Girl. I think it is Rich Girl. So I think it's online somewhere. I might go find it and share that. So yeah, voice memo, it's a loop pedal. And then I just put it over like a GarageBand trap beat to just get vibes. And then I fleshed out the first verse, which the first line was, yeah, we drive the same van we've had since I was 9 years old. I learned the value of a dollar when my parents were broke. And then I just kind of fleshed it out from there because I was like, oh, okay, that's a story. And then, yeah, I wrote that all myself in my own time over every year or so, whenever I had time to come back to it. Then I went to Parachute Music Studios as part of their Artist Development 2020 team, I guess, which was such a huge blessing. And they are all so supportive there. And I was in the group with some of, yeah, the coolest people and artists and musicians ever. Our friend Lisa, Lisa Grace Hawkins.
From Wintec.
From Wintec. Did the same amazing thing. Yeah. I mean, also shout out to Chris Bates and Maria and the girls of ART. You may have seen them on New Zealand Pop Stars recently. Yeah, that was a stellar group to be on. And we had songwriting circle every week. So we had to come out with a new song and we get set a challenge, like a character challenge, or it might be a cappella challenge, or only a one note chorus challenge. And so I had sung Rich Girl as one of the challenges and then decided to flesh it out. And I did the whole demo version myself, just tinkering around on keyboards and throwing in BVs when I could. I was staying with my two cousins, Laura and Marnie, in Auckland at the time, and I just had this Tascam mic, and I just sit up in the kitchen and just randomly sing whatever comes to mind throughout the day, because they'd usually be out studying during the day, and then I'd go to the studio at night and try and finish some things.
How did you get to be part of the artist development program?
I saw an ad on Instagram for it, and so I was like, okay, sure, I'll apply. At the time I was studying massage therapy at WinTech. And afterwards, because I wanted just like extra skills, and so I could, you know, pair it with what I wanted to do with music. It's kind of a flexible job, and so is music. So I was doing massage and I saw that come up, and I was like, oh, you know what? I still really want to do music, so let me apply for this. They told us there were about like 80 plus applicants, and they shortlisted about 10. We had to go in for like a 90-minute interview/audition, and they're so lovely, and you just kind of sing a couple songs and they just kind of get to know you as artists, and then they select about 5 and invest like a lot of time and resources and love and energy into you. I love that they kind of approach the artist development of everyone as, wait, that doesn't make sense. Love how they approach the mentoring process, I guess, in a very holistic way. So they kind of just talk about mindset, and they take us on like artist retreats on what you think it's as an artist, and what success as an artist might mean to you. Just a lot of deep soul searching stuff amongst this year of kind of your artist incubation year, I guess. Just really digging deep into who you are and why you want to do music and stuff.
Very good prep.
Oh, yeah. Very good prep, especially because, yeah, there's so many questions and they're just so open for you to ask and answer any type of question that you might have about either the niggly admin sides of being a musician.
So are you an independent artist or are you signed to a label?
I'm an independent artist at the moment, so that's been really fun to kind of navigate how to do it. So I'm just taking my time with it. It's kind of fun. You're also independent as well, right?
Yes.
Yes, so taking a leaf out of your book. It's, others.
It's a weird situation. There's lots of admin work.
Oh, I know, I hate it, but... I forgot to mention for Rich Girl, can we go back to that for half a second? So once I've got the voice memo, and then I got the loop pedal ideas, because I had no voice, so I had to use a guitar to be my voice and melodies, and then I kind of took it to the laptop and fleshed out a demo, and then over the next year I kind of fleshed out the words to Rich Girl. It went through a lot of different changes. It went through like some crystal metaphors, because I thought that was like rich or like royal, and then it went through a lot of musical phases. It went kind of trap, like heavy trap, and then it went through like singer songwriter guitar acoustic, then it went like full reggae and I don't know why we had to do that, but it ended up being kind of a nice blend of just kind of lush R&B sounds that I enjoy. And to get me to that point, I had an amazing producer on the final track. His name is Nick Manders. He's legendary, and it was such an honor for me to work with him. We took a couple of sessions just to flesh out the instrumentation. So I had all my stems of just my random drums, bass, and keys, and like a little flute I think I put in there, and some chimes or something, and then my really basic guide vocals. And then from there, we kind of, I had my friend Elijah Wilson, amazing person, play keys on it. And yeah, he made it all like nice and lush, because I suck at piano. So I can only put in like click in the MIDI regions, or like randomly. So I had Elijah come in and finesse the song with his key skills, piano skills. And then I had Nick to put it all together and add some vibraphones and whatever else was in the studio to make some shaker sounds and build up to this part. I played guitar on the track, just like a little melody kind of up high, and I played bass on this track. And then I gave our first demo to my brother Tane, and he kind of whipped up some drums and synths to go on top of it. So it's kind of a blend. Everyone's kind of like dipped their toes into it, but it's a nice blend of punchy drums, but you know, you can still body roll to it, and it's kind of but still feel good message, and some lush piano, and it's kind of ballady feeling, but with a nice beat to it. I had my dad in the studio as well, because I like having my dad with me, and also just to bounce ideas off. He's good for that, and he also features on the track playing the triangle. Just have to quick mention, too funny. He was like, "Oh, I don't want to play. You go ahead and put all that you want to." And I was like, "No, just for lols, play the triangle."
It really takes a village.
It really takes a village, and I remember someone was like, "Oh, do you collab because you think you can't do it by yourself?" And I was like, "Well, yes." I mean, I just love just hearing other people. What am I trying to say, Mukuka? The collaboration just brings.
Normally, it's just yourself in your head, in your room, with a pen and paper or your laptop. But when someone else is involved, it just opens up a whole new world. And you have someone that can tell you, maybe try this. Or you have someone to hype you up when you're like, oh, I don't like this. Someone's like, no, that's actually very good.
Yes, that is why. And so I'm so glad it was Dad and Elijah and Nick, because those are people I trust and they're epic musicians. So overall, making the song was quite a cool experience, especially collaborating with them. And also having the time to kind of create the bones of the song myself. So I made sure it was something that I wanted to say, and it was like a song that I thought was, you know, okay to listen to as on top of it. So yeah, that's Rich Girl. That
collaborating with people, or when people asked me to collaborate with them, I think that what you're doing as a creative is like you're also opening up opportunities for other people. Sometimes it could be in like really small ways, and sometimes it could be in big ways. Like last year when one of my friends asked me to collaborate with him, I was done. I was like, I'm not making music anymore. And that was the thing that made me think, oh my gosh, no, I can do this. Like this, I like doing this. What the hell? Why did I want to quit?
Oh, you wanted to quit? Oh, what? Why? Oh man. I mean, I'm glad that friend was there too, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I think for so long, I think it's because I was working in corporate and it really wasn't good for me. Yeah. It's not that it was a bad job. It was a really good job. But just it didn't align with who I was and what I wanted to do and get out of life. Yeah. So I think just the way I was feeling at the time, it didn't encourage me to write or sing or want to be in a creative space. I tricked myself.
I tricked yourself. Ah,
I tricked myself into thinking that I can't make music anymore because I have to, you know, find a good paying job and like have a constant paycheck every week or every fortnight, or so I tricked myself and thought there was no other way of like living well. But I mean, being a musician is hard. Now I'm in a space where I'm like, you know what, gotta provide. I think that I am really privileged because I did have a little bit of savings, and I could quit my job, whereas I know it's not something that a lot of people can do.
Not saying that you shouldn't do it or should do it. It's just knowing that who, yeah, like how you're saying, things that align with you or don't, and just making sure that, you know, you take time to realize that you are in control of your life, and you can get out of life what you want. And it does take a bit of trial and error, but life is a whole kind of trial and error, so it's kind of an ongoing process, and just being patient and kind with yourself throughout every kind of journey can be tricky. But yeah, the creative life is kind of you got to really own it, kind of got to be the boss of, be CEO of your creative practice, and it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, but like in saying like everything that I just said, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have even started this podcast. Like, it took me going through all of that stuff to realize, no, I actually really like music, and like I like talking to other people about music, and like, this is what I'm good at, so I might as well own it.
Then straight, you're good at it, man. People haven't listened to your music, or even just listening to this podcast, I think people can tell that this girl is genuine, and it really is a part of you, music and being creative. And I think letting that shine has been so cool to watch, and I think other people will be inspired by it. So,
yeah,
man.
And I'm very grateful that you came and had a chat with me and just talked about your journey, because when I first started writing songs, the place I went to was YouTube. I wanted people in Auckland to tell me how they're doing it, you know, and I want the space to be that for someone who maybe is just starting to write a song and they're like, where the hell do I like even start?
Right. I saw on your podcast thing that you started it kind of as a gift to your younger self.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit of a guiding voice for artists up and coming or creatives that need a bit of inspiration. Mm. And I think that's kind of cool. I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you to you and everyone else who's accepted to like talk to me.
Except, oh, that's so funny.
Because you could have said no. Anytime.
No, I really wanted to do it because I was like, oh my gosh, I love Mukuka. I also want to catch up with her and just have a chat.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I don't know if my chats have been like...
No, this has been a very good conversation. Maybe when you listen back to it, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Okay, great. I
learned a lot, yeah. And also, I love the cover.
Oh, thanks.
I saw it on, you know, on DistroKid to pre-save.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Man, thanks. That was fun to do. I did that at Parachute with amazing photographer Christian and an epic stylist Chris and a cool makeup artist and Jessica. Oh, my gosh. That was so fun to put together.
Yeah.
I maybe was like terrified for 2 weeks up leading up to that because I'm personally allergic to cameras and I really like don't enjoy photo shoots, but I like thinking about like maybe it will turn out okay.
It turned out great.
Hey, thanks, man.
And like the flowers, I just love like photos with like nature.
Oh, I love nature. Yes.
Not the flowers, the plants.
The leaves. The plants. Yeah. That was a hula hoop. Decorated with some greenery. This is all Chris DeYoung's mastermind.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was kind of the idea, kind of make it lush and pretty and natural and organic, but also kind of make it done up a little. But just be, with like the gold skirt, we're kind of like, what's a rich color? Gold.
Yeah.
So let's make it a little gold skirt, but kind of just play it off and jump in a white tee with hoops at the same time.
With the photo shoot, was that a collaborative process or was that something that you said, Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
Chris and the visual team, I'll call
yep,
them.
Visual team.
Was that something that they worked on for you, or was that something you had the ideas and you told them what you wanted?
It was very much a collaborative process, because I think this has probably been my first time kind of putting visual with, I guess, you know, all together as a brand, or as how you want to like visually represent yourself as a musician. So I really just gave them, they told me to come to the meeting with a couple words that described my music or as me as an artist. So I was like, oh, I think I'm kind of, you know, just something soulful and honest. And they're like, great. And they kind of really took the time to make sure that I liked what they were kind of coming up with creatively. And they said, just put any idea. We had a Trello board. Have you used Trello before? It's kind of like a Pinterest, but it's blank. It's like a blank canvas, and you just kind of put in your own images here and there. They said, just throw up a bunch of makeup looks you like, throw up a bunch of other album covers that you like, some other artists that you like, and maybe we'll try and figure out what it looks like for Kyla to come out as an artist. And I was just like very shy throughout the whole process, because it's just like I'd rather just sing and not worry about what it looks like. I don't know why I'm shy about it, but it was just kind of new to me. So I was just really comfortable with the process, because they kind of have been doing it for a long time and made sure that I liked it. And so I was like, okay, it'll be good, even if I'm like nervous this whole entire photo shoot. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I hate cameras, but
you did not look nervous at all.
Oh, thank you. I think I looked like a possum. You're like, but I think, oh yes, okay. No, I mean, yeah, it took us 600 shots to get it, but
But wasn't it fun? Did you have fun?
I did have fun. I was nervous the whole time, but you know, you got to push yourself a little.
Yes.
And I think I will still be nervous next time, but I think I'll just be fine. Because you know what I think people can, what I've realized is that you can still achieve great things and be very scared at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You can have so much self-doubt or just be, really full of fear and be super scared. And you can still hit home runs, you know.
For some of our listeners who don't know where they can reach you, how do they listen to your music? Where can they find you?
You can look me up on Instagram. I'm mainly active on there at the moment, so it's just at kyla.greening. You can come hang out there if you want to. It's not particularly crazy at the moment, but November 6th, which is this Saturday, or whenever this podcast is released, it might have already been released. Then you can find my music on all platforms. You can put it on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, all that good stuff. And so, I think you can find me there if you'd like. No pressure, but I'll be out here doing music probably for as long
forever.
As I can. Forever and ever.
You were listening to The Songwriter's Diary. Special thanks to Kyla Greening for sharing her music journey today. Please enjoy Rich Girl by Kyla. Peace and love, love and light, love, Makuka.
Since I was 9 years old, I learned the value of a dollar when my parents were broke. They taught me love and to be grateful for whatever we owned. I loved the hand-me-downs I had when I was 9 years old. 99 cents bread at the shop on the side of the road. Every day we would be fed and had a place to call home. Heaven gave me my best friends. I treat my cousins like gold. They wear the hand-me-downs I had when I was 9 years old. Ooh, you see my skies, they were already blue. But when I met you, I felt something so new. I didn't know I needed someone like you. Compared to make me a rich girl. You know I'd be on the next plane and I would run to you, cause I don't wanna be away. Though the oceans divide us, no, it could never change what we have right here. You make me a rich girl. Table and it's getting so loud. Got me playing my guitar, kind of singing long style. All my family's asking about you, cause I think they can tell that it's me and you forever, and it's making me smile. Ooh, you see my skies, they're already blue. But when I met you, I felt something so new. I didn't know I needed someone like you. Say you make me makes me